Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio. If it falls down, pick it up, because it's got something to say.
Welcome to this week's episode of Movie Maintenance, where some movies just need fixing. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
I'm Damien.
And this week, 47 Ronin.
Which I was really disappointed to learn was not a film about just 47 Ronin Keatings running around. An army just made of Ronan Keating in Japan. That would have been a better film.
There it is.
Would have been a way better film. Tell me that version of that film isn't better.
That's your worst one yet.
I don't even know what to say. I have had way worse.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
47 Ronins. It's just Ronan Keating, like giving people throw on the X Factor and...
Much like that joke, what the hell is this film?
That's what I mean. How much better would it be if it was Ronan Keating?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, and the studio
It doesn't know what it is either.
It doesn't know what it is.
Apparently the directors and the writers knew what it was, and the studio went, oh, nah, put more of Reevesy in.
Well, they kicked the director off.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
they did.
Well, that explains a lot.
But they kicked him off during the editing phase, right?
Yeah, there was...
And then they did some re-records.
I don't know if this is still a thing, but at the time, the Directors Guild had this thing in it where the director, if he's done over a certain percentage of the film already... you couldn't get rid of him during reshoots, and there was a lot of reshoots for this film.
Yeah.
And so the very minute they wrapped reshoots, they tapped you on the shoulder and went, get the fuck out of
here. You're out.
Yeah. Now, someone from the studio went into the editing room and took over the rest of the film.
Yeah.
So that's why the film is like dumb as fuck, because if they'd have fired him earlier, done the reshoots and the editing, you may get like a Joss Whedon Justice League, which is messy.
Right.
But still, it starts at the same point it ends at.
Yeah.
Whereas this film just feels like, it feels like two films fighting to see whose film is better, and not in a good way.
And then you get to the end and there's still no winner.
No,
like, it's one like, of those.
Yeah.
It's a no contest.
So the original director's film was less Keanu, right? Because that was the film I was more interested in.
I think Keanu was more interested in that film, just quietly.
Well, they pitched it to the studio as a Keanu Reeves vehicle. That's where the issue came in. And then when they saw the cut, because I don't think Keanu Reeves ever had any intention. He was kind of like, I'm helping to shepherd this story to the screen.
That makes total sense.
And then they watched the first cut and the studio went, we've got this A-list Hollywood actor and he's in 20 minutes. What the fuck are you doing?
So that's like, I'll throw a fucking love story in there.
I don't recall there being a sex scene in it, but I was reading today that they added a sex scene, they added this and that, and I was like, when was the sex scene? I remember.
I'm not going to lie. I've recently watched this film.
And I don't remember.
I don't fucking remember.
Yeah.
The closest thing to a sex scene was the creepy witch.
That turns into a snake?
That one. There's only the one. I mean, how many other witches were you watching?
I'm not going to lie. Watching it, there were moments where I was like, I'd zoned out.
Yeah.
Right? And something happened, and I'd be like, wait, how did we get here? How'd we? I didn't fall asleep. Didn't fall asleep, but I was just like, my phone was near me, and I'd just be like, what's going on? Footy scores.
Right.
And you're like, what's on Twitter? Oh, what? Oh, I could rewind this. No, I'm not gonna.
You're like, oh, now Keanu's got superpowers? Is
that what's happened? No, okay.
He didn't want to use them at the start of the film.
He's got honor, mate. He's got honor.
It's all about honor. This is one of those like infamously troubled productions in Hollywood. And it's weird because the behind the scenes story is actually better than the film story.
Yeah, okay.
Like, so it came out in 2013, but this film was first announced back in 2008. So it was just rumbling around for a while. That's they planned to shoot it in 2009. Then it was going to shoot in 2010. It kept sort of getting pushed back, rewrites on this great script, I guess.
Yeah.
And then be released. They wanted to release it early 2011 with the initial budget of $175 million, which, I mean, even 5 years ago is huge. Today, it's probably most superhero movies are more than that.
Sure. But I mean, for something that's not really that established, obviously, the story's been around forever, but to try to pull off a big production of it.
And it was a first-time director. So this is a guy who'd done a lot of visual effects for ads, like TV ads and stuff. And they were like, serious? Give you a crack.
He got finchered.
He wow. did. So they threw him this enormous budget.
They gave
budget.
Him that much money.
Yeah. The funny thing about the budget is you look it up now and it still says 175, but they haven't factored in reshoots, marketing, any of that stuff. So this was one of the most, it was one of the biggest flops in Hollywood history, right. basically. So finally they started filming on the date that they were supposed to release the film.
Oh, shit.
And then, weirdly, there was just weird choices on set. Like everything was shot twice. First in Japanese, so the actors could familiarize themselves with filmmaking, I guess, because a lot of these guys were, you know, Japanese actors who hadn't done English speaking roles before,
but they'd acted before,
yeah,
and they knew English.
They'd filmed. It's not like the Western film set is completely different to a Japanese film set, right?
But they decided, no, we're going to film it everything in Japanese, so everyone's comfortable, and then when we've got that down, when we spend all the money and got that, we'll do it in English. So that's what they did for the whole film.
That's crazy.
This is what rehearsal periods are for. Like,
yeah, they didn't have any more rehearsal time though, Sean, because they were filming at the release date.
But the thing is, like, actors were attached to this project for 3 years before they started shooting it.
Get them rehearsing. Get them rehearsing whatever fucking language you want. They can make up a language for that amount of time.
Right. I don't know what the hell was
happening. That's incredible.
So reshoots then began in 2012. We're now 4 years into this thing. That's
so
when,
not worth it.
After the reshoots, as we said, the director got locked out. The budget blew out. They added so many scenes. Basically, they went through it and were like, how can we add Keanu Reeves into everything? And they basically did that to the extent where they would rebuild sets and just do shots of Keanu and insert him into scenes that he wasn't in and stuff like that. It's fucking absurd.
So here's the thing, right? The reason that this film, so at the end of the film, well, actually, I'm gonna lie, throughout the whole film, at no point am I like, Keanu Reeves is the hero of this film.
No.
It's because he's not.
No, he's not.
When they wrote the script, he wasn't the hero. When they shot the film the first time around, he wasn't the hero. When they wrote and built this film, he was never the protagonist. You can't make someone a protagonist.
Yep.
It's like a polygamist, but you're
good
the hero. So you're married to three people, but you're still the hero. It would happen in my 47 Ronan Keating film. That's fucking...
You're trying to make a side character into the protagonist after all the things been filmed. That's insane.
Yeah.
So, but I quite liked that he wasn't meant to be the protagonist. Because, like, you know, how many things have been whitewashed? They were actually trying not to whitewash. Like, we'll throw a white guy in, but it's not The Great Wall. It's not Matt Damon.
Yeah.
He's
not The
purely...
Last Samurai. Good film.
Right.
Great film.
But it's not that scenario. It's literally just like, hey, this would get Western audiences to watch it. But otherwise, here's some really great Japanese actors doing their own story.
Yeah.
So I love that, the idea behind it. And then they're like, nah, fuck that. Give me more Keanu.
I think Keanu had noble intentions coming into
it.
He was kind of like, I can help shepherd this thing, you know, and get it made purely by being attached to it. Put my name on it. I'll be in 20 minutes of it. It'll be great. And then they're like, whoa. Get in here. it's fucked.
Keanu tried to do Brad Pitt in 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
Whereas the studio went, no. That's like the studio sitting down during 12 Years of Slave and be like, oh yeah, Chidobel Ejiofor is brilliant. Can we have more Brad Pitt in it though?
Can we just cut to some reaction shots
of Brad Pitt just in scenes that aren't
like, oh, that's fucked, eh?
So,
but that's it. Right, that's it. That's taking because Pitt came out and said, oh, you know, I'm not in this film a lot, but I put my name on the poster because people will go, oh, Brad Pitt's in this.
Right. Yeah.
It's an important film. And more people will see it. It's an important film. Keanu's probably doing the same thing. And he gets shafted by the studio. Right. No wonder he's sitting on that park bench looking sad all the fucking time.
Like, they actually had to spend a lot of money. The climactic fight scene, they had to rebuild that whole set basically because the director, who's very inexperienced, didn't have the coverage in the edit room. They were like, Keanu Reeves doesn't come with the other soldiers to the end fight scene. He just appears and fights the snake lady.
Right.
There's nothing to tie him into, how did he get here? He's not a participant in the end fight scene, except for the snake battle. And they were like, oh my God, like, what do we do? They had to rebuild the whole thing.
That's insane.
It's insane.
That's only because they wanted to make Keanu the main guy.
Right.
If it's not Keanu's story, then him going off to fight the snake battle doesn't matter. Mm.
The other thing, and like, this is a scene where you watch it and you're like, oh, this is just feels weird, is when they decide, we need swords, and we can't get swords from anywhere except a magical cave.
Yeah.
So Keanu Reeves and those guys, they go on like this quest to get swords from this creature that seems to be from Keanu's past or whatever. That was added in reshoots, like that whole thing.
That makes a lot of sense.
That scene feels like from a different film.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So much of this film does. There's little bits of it where you're like, oh, like, what the fuck? That's the studio.
I'm jarred. I'm like feeling this weird sense of knowing the story, getting slapped in the face with another one.
Yeah.
Oh, then back to that other one. You're like, what? Did someone just fucking slap me with a fish? Like, what just happened?
It's probably that snake lady turning into a fish.
Yeah, yeah. Keanu just picked her up and slapped me with it.
Is there a chance that we will ever see a Kickstarter-funded director's cut of this film? Although it sounds like, I mean, did he even do a good cut?
Right.
That's the other question too. Yeah. Has he done anything else since?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just not sure.
Surely that's a career killer.
Probably.
You're back doing commercials after that.
The screenwriter of this, Carl Rinst, was his name. The screenwriter of this is the writer from Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
Okay.
The best. I'm kidding. I can't even say that.
So this film that started in 08 eventually came out late December 2013.
Do you have the number for how much they lost?
How much they lost? I'm not sure because they never released it. As I said, the budget, they just go, oh, it's 175. It's like, no, that's the budget you said back in 08.
Right.
Like, tell us what it is now. I reckon it would be close to 400 million. Just for all, it's insane.
To be honest, I didn't have the worst time watching it.
No, me either.
For all that, it was clunky and messy, but Keanu did what he needed to, and then I can't pronounce our main guy's name.
Hiroyuki Sanada.
Hiroyuki.
Yeah.
Loved it. I wanted to see his story.
I've seen him in other stuff too.
Last Samurai.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Yeah.
He's Yuzo in Last Samurai. He's fantastic. He was in The Wolverine. He's the villain in Wolverine.
Yeah, that's where I saw him as well.
Yeah, he's a really great actor. Yeah. Like, he's fantastic. And then he kind of, had to suffer this thing.
You've got him and it could have been a great film. But so, yeah, like I said, saying that, didn't have the worst time. I don't know. It was enjoyable. The story's great. I mean, I was aware of the original story, but it never didn't know the full.
This is a bit
details.
Of a loose interpretation.
Oh, for sure.
Of
this
it,
has got magic and all the rest.
IMDb ratings aren't always the best thing because it can be so heavily influenced by dickheads. But you look at this one at 6.1.
It's 6.3.
Okay, cool.
So I've jumped on there and given it a couple of good reviews.
Excellent. That's really brought it up. But I think that sort of score indicates that there are people who maybe 5 years later have gone back and watched it and they find like some fun in it.
Yeah.
It's big, dumb, stupid movie, but there's moments that you enjoy.
They found its good intentions.
Yeah.
I think this is a movie of good intentions. It's like, okay, you definitely didn't do what you were trying to do. And then the reshoots and the change have definitely pushed it even further. But there's still something in there that you can sort of enjoy.
It's going to hurt me to say. It's like Baywatch. It doesn't deliver what you wanted it to deliver.
Tom, you're all about Baywatch.
I was. And I've come out and said that.
You've come out.
It bombed in my heart. But there's still parts of it that I'm like, I'm proud of you, mate. That's good, though.
I'm proud of you.
That's good. Yeah, thanks.
I'm not.
I know. That's why this isn't a safe space for me.
Baywatch did okay overseas.
But that's what I mean. But what I guess in terms of like its
this
actual... taking away the financial stuff, in terms of just its storytelling thing, there are moments in 47 Ronin where you're like, this is cool.
Mm.
I like all the magic shit.
I think they go way overboard with the magic.
Oh, okay. So there's no magic in yours.
There'll be a sprinkling of magic.
Well, I actually agree with both of you. I would have preferred to see this movie without the magic.
Yeah.
But how you said before, it felt like a different film. I still want to see that film.
Yeah, I want to see the magic
that's
version.
That's a great old time. That's like Asian Lord of the Rings, something crazy. Like, bring it on.
That's what they wanted. So that Lord of the Rings is like literally back in 08, they were like, it's going to be like Lord of the Rings. It's going to be like Gladiator. It's going to be like Last Samurai.
Okay. I can kind of,
so you can see that mishmash
how they've
and how
trying
it's
to force
been
it together. But forced is definitely the word. This hasn't been a fluid merging.
It bombed when it came out. I think it's sitting on like 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sorry, just to interject. Did either of you guys watch it at the movies when it first came out?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
No, yeah, I didn't.
I had a good time.
Yeah? You had a good time there?
Yeah,
did
I did.
Did you have a mummy time?
I did. I had a mummy time. I went into it because I knew about the troubles with the studio and I was like, this is going to be a fucking bomb. And I went in there, I watched it with a mate and we were just like, you know what? Because I love Last Samurai and that's the vibe I get anytime there's samurai in a film. I'm like, this is going to be cool. And I had fun. It's stupid and it's shit and there's so many problems.
But there is something so endearing about the honor system of the samurai. Like,
It's a cool story to tell.
It's a cool story, yeah.
I'm on board. Mm. Like, anytime there's a samurai film, I'm interested. And Hiroyuki Sanada seems to be in a few of them.
We've only seen him in them.
Right, if we watch some Japanese
content, I reckon he probably plays like,
right, cop, he's across the board.
Who's also a samurai.
Businessman. And he's just always a samurai.
He's probably just an actor who plays. I watched something recently that he was in and... You keep going. I'm going to just sort this out on my own.
The interesting thing for this was like dead on arrival when it came out because so its first week, it debuted on the American box office charts in number 9, which is like
Okay.
Fucking for a film that cost upwards of $200 million.
And with years of hype in X-Men. Drastic.
And it bombed in Japan too, which was the big surprise at the time, because they were like, oh, surely we're going to get people in Japan who want to watch it.
Oh, shit.
But the Japanese people were like, nah, you kind of like take our legend and you've done like weird shit to it. And
you've
like,
westernized it.
Sucks.
Yeah.
And so they didn't watch it, and it just never caught on anywhere.
Okay.
So our leading man, who is the villain in Wolverine, has been in... So a number of good things, and this is where I recognize him from.
Right.
He's in the last season of Lost.
Oh,
okay. He plays the guy who lives in the temple, who,
of course,
who brings Sayid back to life, and who speaks only Japanese. And then someone realizes that his offsider only translates for them, and he's like, "Yeah, I can speak English. I just don't want to put your shitty words in my mouth." It's brilliant. He's also in Sunshine. He plays the captain in Sunshine.
Ah, of course. That's probably the one that I recognize him from.
Fuck, I love that
just
film.
To cut back to don't put your shitty words in my mouth. Was he thinking that for this movie?
Oh, possibly. Why not just have him do like Japan? I guess I was like, you know, Schindler's List did it, but Schindler's List is like an art house drama,
right? Yeah.
Oh no, is that in English the whole way through with accents?
Yeah, it was English.
Yeah, no, not subtitles.
Yeah,
I reckon if you made that movie now, you could do a sub. You could do it with subtitles.
I can't think of an example in Hollywood where they've done that for this budget.
No.
Even like I get annoyed when you see, do you remember Valkyrie with Tom Cruise? And it starts off, it's him in a tent writing in his journal, and it's Tom Cruise doing a terrible German accent and speaking German. And then it just kind of like transitions into English. And then from then on, he's just American accent English for the rest of the film.
Right.
Like they can't even, they want it. They're like, oh, we could have done it, but no, we'll give you this.
What they're doing is they're showing how bad he is at it. Yeah. Going, see guys?
We had no choice.
Yeah. What's good is that Keanu Reeves isn't running around doing a fake Japanese accent, because that would be racist as would be.
I figure there's probably quite a few people who haven't seen this film. So what it is essentially is about a group of samurai whose lord is killed in suspicious... basically, the lord... Some weird magic shit happens
Shogun,
to the lord.
Mate, the Shogun.
No, he's not the Shogun.
Oh, no, the Shogun's the bad guy.
No, that's not the bad guy either. The Shogun's the other guy.
Like the emperor kind of guy.
No, I paid attention.
He's just a lord. Lord Asano is the main guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he gets like some magic shit done to him and commits a crime and then has to do the honor suicide thing. And then his men.
Harakiri?
Harakiri, that's it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You got to put the sword in and bring it across. You got to be upright too. So you can be standing or you can be kneeling. But if you like slump while you're doing it, you dishonor yourself in death.
Wow.
So you've actually got to go quick and do it. Full upright.
There's lots of things that can dishonor.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Brutal to watch.
That's kind of cool then. That's why I like the magic thing. Because the magic thing to me, because there's always rules of magic. And it's like, you've got to do everything exactly right. And that's kind of the nice thing of the way it kind of ties into like the whole samurai idea is you have to do everything exactly right.
But this magic didn't have magic. This magic system didn't have rules.
I know.
Because I love a good magic system with rules. But as soon as you've got no rules...
You look like a guy who likes a magic system.
Anyway, Lord Asano gets magicked and he does a crime and then he has to honor kill himself. And his men don't really buy that. They're like, no, something is wrong here. Mm. And they basically want to go out and avenge him. And that's what the film is. And Keanu Reeves is just kind of there.
The reason they're Ronin is because they're samurais without a master. Because they're like,
that's it, So they then get banished and they're off.
And they're kind of disgraced, right?
They live in disgrace. Yeah, absolutely. And that's where we find them. But so the challenge that I sort of gave myself for this, rather than just sort of a normal fix, I've imagined that we've got our hands on the script sort of back in 08, in that pre-production days.
Back in the happy days where it could have been anything.
Happy days when it could have been anything, and we've got to try and make it good, but also I want to cut the budget in half.
Ooh.
And I mean, a big way to do that is to pull out a lot of the magic bullshit and just make it a more grounded, realistic story.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, so I don't know if you're on board immediately, Tom, but I'll see if I can get you by the end.
I'm not.
Well, we'll see.
Because I loved the magic bullshit.
So I want to keep that flashback at the start, if you guys recall, of the samurai finding young Kai, who's Keanu Reeves' character. But the first big shift, there is no romantic subplot with Lord Asano's daughter, because I just think those guys have zero chemistry.
Oh,
there's absolutely nothing going on there.
They didn't have any chemistry when they made the film the first time around.
Yeah.
They weren't supposed to. They weren't written with chemistry. They weren't cast... to have chemistry, because that's the other thing too, is right?
Yeah.
You're casting people. You cast like two actors who can have good chemistry.
Yeah.
When they wanted them to have chemistry, it'd be like Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. It'd be racist but still. It'd be chemistry.
Surely they could have found actors who have chemistry Yeah. And they didn't. So my preference for that relationship dynamic in the film is for it to be more of like a sibling thing. Mm. It's like a brother and sister sort of dynamic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the romantic subplot just... It wouldn't work.
Studio in me wants them to have sexual.
The studio pushed in, but like, I mean, the end result is we watched it and we're like, ah, no chemistry. It's just shit. I don't buy it. Let's make it more of a friendship sort of.
Right. So you do have a chemistry, but it's not sexual chemistry.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is probably easier for Keanu Reeves to sort of
pull off. Yeah. Pull off.
No, he's a tricky actor in terms of chemistry. Like outside of Sandy Bullock, he's struggled through a lot of his career, I think. Because the way that he is, he's a very reserved sort of guy.
For sure.
So it's hard to sort of peel that back. So in this, Kai is still an outcast. They all call him, you know, the half-breed and look down on him. You know, they even want to leave him to die. This is back in the flashback when he's a kid. He's probably like 10 years old when they find him. They want to leave him to die. They want to, maybe some of them even want to kill him, but Lord Asano says, no, we'll take him in. And so they take Kai in. And also, the voiceover at the start, gone.
Good.
Mm. It's a bookend. They use it at the start, the end, and it kind of doesn't really do anything outside of just being really lazy storytelling.
Mm. Yeah.
You can learn that stuff through dialogue or through, like... Audiences are smart. Studios often, when they have a troubled production, think, shit, we better add a voiceover at the start or some text or something on screen to sell the world. Just let us experience the world a little bit at the start. That's all you need to do. The first big action scene, I think, is one of the best in the film. It's when they're chasing that big monster thing. Mm. It's shot well. It's exciting. I do want to bring the magical elements out of it a little bit, so I'd like it if it was something a little bit more realistic. If there's an animal we can decide on that's like big and threatening, maybe there's a few of them, but not a big magical creature. It could even be like a group of men. It could be invaders. It could be guys with guns or whatever.
Bandits with guns are good.
Yeah, bandits with guns. And then it's kind of like old versus new sort of thing, you know? Yep. Now, I like that Kai's a tracker, and that's kind of like his job there. He leads the samurai to whatever the danger is, and then they're kind of like, all right, half-breed, fuck off now. We've got this covered. And then, like, I would keep the sequence the same. Like, there's a chase or something. Characters get in danger, and Kai comes in and saves the day. But instead of it being that random Japanese guy, I would have it be Hiroyuki Sanada's guy, Ouija. Yep. Just straight up, because we don't get any payoff from it being the other guy. Later in the film, he says, oh, I was wrong, Kai. Sorry. And that's it.
Yeah.
But if you make the conflict between Ouija and Kai from the outset, because that's the conflict the main of the guy.
Film. Right.
Yeah.
And he is our protagonist in this. Yeah, great. Yeah. Awesome.
But yeah, like,
so you can have him being annoyed at being saved too.
Hell yeah. Like, he would be, because it's like this, dishonored me.
Fuck by, you. I should have died rather than you saving my life.
I'd rather be dead than have a half-breed save my life. It's that kind of thing, you know? So make the conflict between those two, and like that's just an immediate tweak that I think is just because the other guy, he's irrelevant. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Is he jealous of the relationship he has with the Lord's family?
Yeah, I think so.
That'd be a nice bit of okay. I wanted to be the son figure in that father daughter.
I still think Ouija is. Because he's probably the next in line for Lord Asano. Yeah. He's still that sort of guy. But for him, he's probably very traditional. And he's kind of like, to Lord Asano, he's like, what the fuck? I'm sick of this half-breed guy. Like, what?
Why did you do this to us?
Why are you doing this to us? That's one of my major problems with the film. Even though Ouija's like probably the best thing in it and he's the best actor in it, he's too good. He's too courageous. He's too selfless. He's all of these things.
Yeah.
So I want to give him like just something.
An immediate flaw there.
An immediate flaw. Well, something
if he's jealous. Or if but even, oh, you got a good one, don't you, Sean?
Well, he's just a massive racist. Like, he fucking can't stand anything that's, like,
he's not typical. Racist. He can't stand anything different.
Well, no, but I think it comes out in racism against Kai.
Yes.
You know, half-breed, half-blood, you're not worthy and blah, 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 all this sort of thing. But
Kai could have been anyone.
Yeah, like any racist, though, it's born from fear. It's, I'm afraid because you're different and I feel threatened.
Yeah.
And it's
He's super traditional.
Absolutely.
What I like about that, too, is that for Asano taking on Kai, he can't get angry at Asano because Asano is his lord.
Yeah.
So it gives him even more reason to take it out on Kai.
Yes. And all the other men do too. So it's still sort of like the same setup that
but
we have
just
in
just give
the
it
film.
A bit more purchase and directed at our protagonist.
Yeah. And you just got to give Ouija like something because you can't just be like this flawless guy. Do you know what I mean? So now the film, like they can return to the province like they do in the actual movie. I wouldn't mind having like a scene with Kai and Asano's daughter, Mika. Just like a simple like, oh, how you doing kind of chat. Like something like, were they mean to you again? That sort of thing. Mm. And he's kind of like, no, it's fine. Don't worry.
Like they gave him a shiner. Like someone just pushed him off his horse or something.
Yeah, shit
or
like that.
Just like, oh yeah, I fell off my horse. Oh, you fell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. What's his name? Didn't cut your thing again?
Yeah. Just stuff like that, you know, and Mika can go to her father and try and be like, oh, they're picking on Kai again. And he just kind of like doesn't want to hear it because it's in that time period where it's like it's a man's world and he's like, you know your place. Don't talk to me about these things. This is soldier stuff. Don't worry
As well
it.
As even for Asano, surely like, yeah, he's taking Kai in, but there still must be even some limits for him.
He's like a pet.
Yeah. He can't put others down on behalf of Kai.
Yeah.
Well, he's still an honourable man. So Kai kind of has to earn. So doing this role is the Lord being like, you're earning your place here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's got to earn respect.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything given to him or anything, but there's still got to be, you're right, Asano can't have a go at his men.
Yeah, yeah.
Over this half-breed guy.
And that is something that I like.
He can keep him around.
Yeah. He can keep him around. And that's something I liked in the movie is that Kai did know his place. He was super subordinate and super deferential to everybody.
Like, he never cracked the shits. He never said, he just took it because he went, you know, I know my place. And this is what it is.
Which made a lot of sense. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah. Here, I'd like to have, old Lord Asano pull Luigi aside. And, talk about big picture things, just like safety of the people, the future, that sort of stuff. Because we've seen already that Luigi, he's quite fiery. He hates the Half-Blood. He's very insecure and all of that and angry. And his lord says to him that one day you're going to be in charge. You're going to have to lead. But there's so much fire in you and you're not ready yet. You're going to have time to be able to grow and do this. But you need to realize that threats are coming and we're going to need you to, you have to be better.
Hmm.
He won't say that in front of the men, but he says it to him. He's like, I need you to be better.
I need you to be able to direct the fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can have like a great thing, because in water is actually the strong one. So in terms of your Japanese elements, it's like steel, wood. Water's the one that does its own thing. It's out of control. So what you do is you have a nice scene where they're talking and he's like pouring water through a thin.
Oh, yeah.
So the thing, he's like, look, and the water goes everywhere and takes them all out. He's like, but if we direct the water and the water goes around, he's like, I need you to be like the water.
Yeah, no,
very cool.
Good.
Yeah. That's good, mate.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Beautiful. So it's here, we've just talked about outside threats. Here we're introduced to Lord Kira. He's younger than Asano. He's very charismatic. People fear him. He's got a large army. He has the witch character with him.
Is she going to have a name or is she just going to be called Witch?
She had a name in the film, but I can't remember. I'll get to her in a second.
I'm pretty sure they just call her Sorceress or Witch or Snake.
It was like Masuka or something like that in the film.
I think that's Japanese for witch.
Is it?
I think so.
Fair enough then.
Siri is...
he travels with the witch and people are terrified of her. And there's like rumors and whispers swirling around. Like she's got a dragon and stuff like that. She's got control of a dragon and they've got this big army. And like they're a threat.
Hmm.
I think Rinko Kikuchi can still play that witch character. Because I really like her as an actress. Yeah. She's so shit in this film.
She's hamming
it up to such a degree that it's insane. And I really... My favorite role of hers is in a film where she can't speak.
Okay.
And Babel? So I would even consider...
Babel? No. Are you thinking about Brothers Bloom, which doesn't talk?
Yeah.
I love that movie so much.
Because she's a really expressive actress, and particularly in that film. I would potentially even take away her ability to speak. And then you've got this weird... that makes me even more afraid of her. And she's still got the weird eye thing. Yep. One eye's different color and that's like a witch thing. And,
And it, I don't know. There's something about, any off-cast having that aura of mysticism around them.
Yep.
So her not being able to speak just sort of raises even more rumors about
it. Here's the thing, right? They cut out her tongue so she couldn't do spells.
No, but she travels with him because she's the greatest weapon.
When she was like a kid.
When she was a kid.
Oh, she was a kid, but she could still do them?
Yeah, because she doesn't need to talk.
Fucking great.
Okay. Spells aren't in the mouth. Yeah, it's in hands.
That's cool. But yeah, so that's her, and everyone fears him, everyone fears her. She's, you know, this whisper, she's a shapeshifter, she's this, she's that, you know. Mm. There's just uncertainty around her, and everyone's kind of quietly
like, hey, have you seen her eyes?
Yeah.
She's a witch, man. She's a fucking witch.
So I wouldn't mind keeping that combat scene, you know, like the trial by combat thing they do in front of the Shogun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's Asano's man versus Kira's man. Because I kind of like that. I like the spectacle of that. Gives you a bit more of like village life and a bit more of scope of the world and the the different clans who are against each other.
Yeah, the way the samurais like work and the...
Yeah. Yeah. Like in the movie, I would have the witch, like she's poisoned the fighter or like it's potentially her or whatever. So Kai has to put the mask on, fight, gets revealed, and this shames Lord Asano again.
Mm.
But I would make it different to the film. That night, Lord Asano dies.
Oh.
So he's dead. He's stabbed. The knife's in his own hand. When people find him, for all intents and purposes, a suicide. Because he just couldn't take the shame of what happened that day of failing his shogun and all of that sort of thing. So that's happened.
Who finds him?
Mika, his daughter, finds him.
Yep.
So the shogun gives the province to Lord Kira instead of Ōiji, who's been told you'll lead next.
Mm.
Because he has an army status, power, fucking dragon. And unlike Ōiji and his men, he's not tainted by dishonor. So he gives him the province. Kira strips them all, like in the film, strips them all of their titles, makes them Ronin, banishes them.
So it's seen as super dishonorable that he's killed himself without sort of permission from his lord.
Yes.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's kind of like a double dishonor. He sent this guy in.
Yeah. He sent a half-caste which he shouldn't have done. Fight.
Yeah. Which, and so you layer it even more. Old mate tells him not to.
Yeah.
When he's like, I'll do it. He's like, no, you can't. I can't risk you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're important. And Kai's like, well, I'll go. Kai can offer.
Yeah.
Even better, because like, I'm unimportant. I'm not important. If I die in there, it's fine.
Yeah. Or in typical Kai fashion, he wouldn't even, they'd be all having that argument and then he would just walk out.
He would just be strapping the armor on.
He's got the mask on, he's already out there. He's like, done. Oh, for fuck's sake, Kai, yeah, Jesus. Yeah. And that, yeah. So Lord Kira, he doesn't trust Ōiji, like in the film. And so he wants to kill him, but he thinks, actually, I can have more fun with him. As in the film, throws him in the pit.
Mm.
I really like that he's in the ground for thing. I thought that was cool. It won't be the, we'll throw him in here and we'll break his spirit. It's life sentence. You're going to be in there and you can think about it forever. We'll keep like passing so bread down and shit. But yeah, you're going to suffer and you're going to feel that.
You don't want to put him in there for like 363 days?
That is one of the worst things in the film is when they're like, I'm going to marry you in a year. We're going to throw him we're going to put him in prison because he's the danger, he's the threat. And then a week before the wedding, we'll let him out.
No, not a whole year. I mean,
do you know what that is? That's the writer's going, okay, I've got this really cool plot point here. So he's got to marry him, right? And the only threat to that, we put in a hole. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
How does he get out of the hole? Oh, fuck. They let him go a week before the wedding? Yeah, nice.
That'll
nice.
Do.
Yeah, yep. Good.
So, like in the film, Kira still claims Asano's daughter to be his wife. And still, out of respect and tradition, he's going to allow for a mourning period.
Mm-hmm.
In the film, that was a year. I think that can still be a year because I don't have an issue with it outside of the fact that
he got out a week earlier. Yeah.
So now Kai hears this. And rather than be a little bitch like he's in the film where he's just kind of like, and struggles and they drag him away, he fights. He like pinches a sword, stabs his way through a few people. He's trying to get to Kira. They stop him. And this will be a shift from the film. I'm getting rid of stupid pirate fight club.
Yeah.
And they're going to throw Kai into prison with Ōiji.
Oh, okay.
So they're trapped together.
In a hole.
Forever in a hole.
Yeah, I like that.
Nice.
Now, just quickly on this pirate fight
yeah,
club.
Can we? Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you the fundamental reason why it doesn't work in the film.
Because it's from a different film?
Because it's from a different film, one. Two, Kai has abilities. He also, in the film, loves Mika, has these abilities. He would win every fight, cut his way out, get back to her at any cost.
He would just do it straight away.
Yeah.
What is actually stopping him?
These people should be nothing.
Thank you. Yeah.
He's fighting monsters and all sorts of things. And it seems to be like, I think they're implying that he's like worn down and like.
Right.
He's basically tuned out. Ōiji comes to talk to him and he's like, Kai. And he doesn't remember. He starts fighting him. Mm. And it's just like, this is dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah.
This shouldn't happen.
Not enough time has passed. It's only been 363 days.
That's right.
Like if it was 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'd hit the drink hard, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's less than a year
yeah.
for the dumb plot point.
Yeah.
Having said that,
you do like it, don't you?
Oh, it's entertaining.
Because it's from a different film.
It's fun.
It's from the film you want. The magical film.
I 100% agree that this film is not that scene and that entire bit should not be in this film at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense from a narrative perspective either that his punishment is like, oh, I'll just go away and do this then and fight people. Like
you would kill him or imprison him.
Right. Yeah.
You'd either do that or if you're Kai and you're still able to come back, you just fucking come back.
Yeah. Like, because that's the thing. Yeah. In the film, he loves Mika.
Mm.
And he would know. And to be honest, Lord Kira would know too. So he would just kill him. He'd be like, he's my biggest threat. I got to kill this guy.
Sure.
Like, it's a really silly thing.
He takes out... He fucks up... The movie is dumb because it fucks up taking out the two biggest threats to the title.
Yeah.
Which is they chuck old mate in a hole and they chuck other old mate to pirate fight.
Yeah.
And neither of them actually are off the board for the integral moment.
And also, if you want to make Pirate Club, whatever the fuck we call it, mean anything, maybe like Kai has made some alliances there and he brings some people from there to help them fight and it's like something like that. But
because then if you do that, because then you have the nice thing of like the samurai being like, we don't team up with these guys. They don't know the code. And it's like, we're Ronin. We don't have a code anymore.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's cool.
But instead, we just get this weird thing. There is a famous... I can't remember who he is. He's not an actor, but he's in the film. And he's
the tattooed guy. Yeah.
I can't think who he is, but he was like... There was big fanfare, so there's a lot on the cutting room floor of him. Like, I think he had a big fight. So
I was going to say, because he's in the poster, and I remember seeing him in the trailer back when, and I was like, I don't know who he is, but he's cool.
He's got covered in tattoos and like smoke and stuff. Yeah.
And then he's like, he's in it for a minute.
Yeah.
And it's like, he kind of just looks menacing, and then he fucks off. Like,
so there's a lot on the floor for that. Part of the film as well.
So
the director's cut would be interesting.
What's bizarre is they have this scene that doesn't feel like it belongs, but probably belongs if you have all the other bits around it.
Yeah.
Or doesn't belong in the version where Kai's the main character.
Starting to think that the director's version is better than what we got, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I reckon so too, Sean. Yeah.
Anyway, now Luigi's trapped in a cave, this tiny little cave, with the embodiment of everything that he hates and fears, basically.
Ooh, he's in there with Kai.
And it can be quite petty.
Does he blame Kai? Because if Kai's the one who's just like, we can't talk about this, I'm strapping the armor and walking off.
Yeah.
That was the start of it all. Like,
yeah, blames him absolutely.
Oh, that's good.
And, you know, Luigi can
be
quite...
They have a fucking brawl in that.
Oh, do they?
But imagine them brawling and it's this tiny little thing. So they're like children. They're like, fuck you, motherfucker. They're elbowing each other and they can't even move. It's just like...
But they're both samurais. Like, I imagine that fight scene, despite its restrictions, could be fucking
just
killer.
Them like... Yeah.
It'd be really cool.
I just tried to demonstrate without talking and then remembered we do a podcast.
But like you could even get like petty comedy out of it where like imagine Luigi's kind of like, this is my half of the cave. That's yours. And he draws a line, but it's not even like a 50-50 thing. He just, wherever Kai is sitting, he just draws a little circle around him. Just goes, don't touch my rocks or anything like that. He's like, fuck you.
You stay in your Kai hole.
And Kai just like picks up a rock and like throws it at him.
Yeah. There would just be petty shit back and forth. Yeah. Like, and they would just be going insane. I'd actually like for the film to spend like 20 minutes of screen time in this. I'd like it to really slow down and just become about these two guys. Well,
yeah. I mean, if our main guy has that huge flaw at the start, this is him. This is the tipping point to actually start getting rid of it.
Absolutely. So you have these two in there. They hate each other. They're fighting petty fights, cramped quarters, being children. But eventually they're going to have to break down through some barriers because they've been there for a while. Yeah. They're going to be in there for, let's say they're in there for like at least a year together.
Cool.
And it's just them and they've gone past the point of insanity and maybe come back a little bit. And now they have to talk to each other and deal.
Cool.
You know? So Luigi perhaps starting to see that his hate and his anger clouded him from, you know, what was happening under his nose. Like he could have done something more if he wasn't him. He starts to hate himself essentially and wants to break himself down a bit.
Okay.
So, you know, they swap theories. They start to bond a little bit. They swap some theories that Lord Kira killed Asano and made it look like suicide, stuff like that, that it was Kira and his witch, blaming other people, coming up with theories. Like, they just don't want to believe that it's him, particularly for Luigi, who had that conversation with Asano about the future. And, like, Asano would have been quite clear on, I've still got a lot that I want to do. So, for Luigi then the next day to be like, you didn't kill yourself.
Yeah, there's your alarm bells. Yeah.
So, Luigi... He asks Kai, why didn't you run away to safety? Like when Asano died, you would have known he's your protector. You actually could have got away. And like, I can't actually figure you out. Why didn't you run? And Kai just kind of laughs and he's like, where would I run? Like I wouldn't have anywhere to go. And then like, this is when Kai kind of, because up until now, Keanu doesn't speak much. So now we can break him down a little bit. And he can say, I ran for the first 10 years of my life. My father, he was killed. His only crime being that he was with my mother, who sooner threw me away than be further shunned by her people. I had the rags that were on my back and nothing more. I walked from village to village, province to province, and everywhere I went, they beat me. They spat on me. They cast me aside. I was called half-blood and half-breed so many times for so long that I forgot my own name. I forgot everything. If I stopped caring, it stopped hurting as much. And then one day, a girl my age pulled me from the river that should have been my grave, and she looked at me and she smiled. And before that, I'd never known that people could smile without hiding a thin layer of pity. She said, "My name is Mika. This is my father, Lord Asano. And he took me in. And for the first time in my life, I had a friend. And for the first time in my life, I had a home." And he just looks at Luigi and he says, "There is peace and forgiveness." So these guys, they've been trapped, let's say it's a year. They're hairy, they're bearded, but they're not broken. And then you have a light from above and you hear screams and then body parts start raining down on them. And then peering down through the hole, we see the faces of the other Ronin, the Ronin that we've seen earlier in the film, familiar faces. They say, "My lord," and they lower a rope. Now, Luigi and Kai climb out and the men glare at Kai and some spit, others yell, "Half-blood. We should throw the half-blood back down," they scream. One draws a knife and comes at him, but Luigi grabs him and disarms him. And he says, "No, he is Ronan. His name is Kai."
Oh.
So he's with him now.
That's great. So I just almost cut you off. That Kai's monologue, fucking beautiful. You didn't see that Tom and I were like giving each other proving.
Well, yeah, there was some nodding happening here.
Yeah, he's like, "This is some carny gold, right, going on right here."
Because there's so much pain to that character. And that's, yeah. Keanu Reeves is really, he's quite a capable actor at playing that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't really explore it enough, but like that should be his biggest thing. Mm. He was abandoned. He's never had a home. And this lord, and particularly the daughter, his friend, took him in, gave him a home, gave him a purpose.
But even the other Ronin, like even though they do kind of mock him, he's still part of something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if it's something that he's, you know, he's still proving himself to some people.
Yeah, and they know it deep down, and that they fear it, and they fight against it a little bit. But they know it's there's respect building, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and especially like once they're knocked down to Ronan, can they really say they're better than him?
That's it. I think they've all just hit rock bottom, and it's kind of like, you know what, like if he's willing to fight and die with us, it's kind of like
that's enough honor for me.
Yeah, you know, this is where I'd get rid of the subplot where they go and find magic swords.
Yeah,
Get some regular swords.
Yep, they don't need magic swords, and Kai doesn't have to be a superhero. He's just a man. He's just like them. That's
okay.
I kind of prefer that. That so he
doesn't
like
have his mystical magical bullshit.
Yeah, mystical magical bullshit is gone. So rather than go around, I'd have them go around and liberate some of the villages that have fallen under Lord Kira's control. And so every time they overthrow, you know, there's like local soldiers there. They grab some more weapons and they're building. They've got how you get
that's
their
a good
swords.
Montage. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they find more of, you know, their old samurai Ronin guys, and the team starts to build until finally maybe there's 47 of
How
them.
Many?
You know, and Kira, he's hearing about this disturbance in the province and he's furious. So I would have like a similar build up to the end set piece here, which, because I mean, it's building, it's all building to that anyway.
Hmm.
They need to stop Kira from marrying Mika and save her. So they come up with a plan. Kai and Luigi, they're going to go on a stealth mission to stop the wedding and assassinate Kira, while the rest of the Ronin are going to team up and they need to dismantle Kira's real source of power and fear, which is the dragon. If they get rid of that, people aren't going to fear him as much anymore.
Mm.
So they go on a mission to do that. So imagine like a big epic action sequence that's all sort of cross-cut together. The music's building, everything's sort of, the tension's just ramping up. You've got Kira and Mika, the wedding preparations are happening. You've got the Ronin going for the dragon, and you've got Kai and Luigi sneaking in, killing people and that sort of thing, killing guards as they work through this building. So the wedding ceremony, it's underway now. Kai and Luigi, they're killing guards. They're running towards the temple entrance. They're nearly there. The Ronin, they're getting closer to the tower that holds the dragon. They can hear roars. They can see like fire coming out of the windows and shit like that. They're scared, but they keep marching. Kira and Mika, they're saying their vows now, so it's getting to that point. Kai and Luigi, they're inches from the door. They're so close. They get to it. They bang it open, and they charge in, and the room's empty. They've gone to the wrong place.
Ooh.
A door opens. Kira and Mika turn their heads and see. It's not Kai. It's not Luigi. It's just the witch. She smiles and nods at Kira, and the wedding continues, and they are married.
Good.
Hoi.
Oh, yeah. Kai and Luigi are surrounded by soldiers and they have to fight their way out. Then back at the wedding, Kira tells Mika that he hated her father. He can understand why everyone, you know, in the village, everyone in the province assumes that he killed the old man, but he says, "I could have done it. I wanted to do it for so many years. Our people have had an uneasy alliance. But before that, before all the peace, my father challenged yours. He was trying to change, to pull us away from tradition, to deal with the West. My father, my family were a problem. So your father had them killed. I still remember him standing over me, wondering whether I was old enough to remember. But I do remember. I remember everything. But for him, I wanted a slow knife. So he poisoned his man in the fight and brought shame upon him in front of the Shogun. I wouldn't kill him, you see. I would slowly tear the seams of his whole family as he did to mine. But he ended it in his shame. I had so much more planned for him. My sorceress here and I, even in death, he was as much a disappointment as in life.
Oh,
fuck.
But the end result of this is the same. Nobody will dare cross a lord or my dragon. And you cut back to the Ronin charging through the doors, hearing the dragon roar, feeling the heat of the flames, drawing their swords and charging at the beast. But there's no beast there. There's just men. No dragon. There's men screaming into complicated pipes that distort the screams into a roar. There are men who throw wood on a fire and fan the flames, but no dragon. Mika looks at Kira and says, "We have just one thing in common." And Kira leans in eager to hear, and she says, as he is stabbed in the back by the witch, she says, "We both hated my father."
Oh.
Kira falls to his knees, confused, bleeding. She says, "My father tried to be a good man, and for all of his forward thinking, he never had the time to listen to his daughter. He never had the time to listen when it came to the ones I love." And the witch crosses the room and takes her hand.
Sean.
Oh.
"Your reputation, the magic, the dragon, the fear, none of it was real. Parlor tricks, whispers, you'll be forgotten, and we will rule this province. But Ouija and Kai and the others have come there in the meantime, and they've heard the end of this. They're shocked that she killed their lord. Kira pleads with them to spare him, but they silence him. He wanted Asano dead all the same, so he's just as bad. Ouija's mission is to honor his lord. He must kill Mika. Kai tries to block him, but Ouija tells him, if we compromise on justice, where does it end? As twisted as Kira there, plotting for years and never letting go. He looks at Kai and he says, there is peace in forgiveness, but also in death. And the witch stands in his way. She won't let him attack Mika, but she has no real magic. She has no voice. So she's easily cut down. Mika looks from Ouija. She looks to Kai and smiles one last time. And then lastly, she looks at her fallen love on the ground as the sword goes through her.
Fucking hell.
So later we see Kai. And I think Kai would bury them side by side.
Yeah.
And in the background, we see the Shogun and all his men roll into town, ready to pass judgment. And so the ending's going to play out the same. Them having honored their lord, they've avenged him, and then finally they've given their lives and they have to, you know, do the ritual suicide for the crimes that they've committed. So Kai is alongside the samurai. He's alongside Ouija at the end. And no one questions it. Everyone embraces it because he belongs. He's one of them. He's home. And that's a different take on the film.
Fuck, I'll say.
Fuck. I was like, oh yeah, no, cool, this is interesting, this is interesting. And then I'm like, what?
I don't know what, yeah.
First of all, I want to commend you on making the, until the bait and switch, but the villain has a motive that makes sense.
Yeah.
We wanted to do the next thing and we got in the way.
Yeah.
Mm. No, all, that would happen all the time in this, it's how it would function.
Yeah.
And that he's, you know, I didn't kill him. I wanted to, but I didn't. He did it on his own.
Yeah.
Because he's a coward. Because your dad's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's everything I thought he was. He's just proven me right.
Yeah.
At that point, you're like, I mean, he's not the good guy, but he's like arguably the better guy. Mm. Visano's gone off and slaughtered his family.
It's one of those weird stories where it's like, who are the good guys?
Yeah, who
because
do I root
everybody's
for?
Got their shit, you
yeah.
know?
Like, yeah. And I like that it does come down to tradition and sort of a new way of thinking, as well as, yeah, forgiveness is a real big part of it. And sometimes that forgiveness is still in killing them or in killing, being, you know, the suicide, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good shit.
You could even like, I mean, if you wanted to, you could not focus so much on the, like a sibling relationship between Kai and Mika and have it that it's still like potentially the romantic thing. Mm. And then you get to the end, you're like, oh no, it was never that. It was her and this other.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I don't know. I like the idea of a witch character gaining power purely by just bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By showmanship.
And the whole, she had her tongue cut out. She probably had her tongue cut out because they found out she was gay.
That yeah, that could be a thing.
Yeah. Like it was a punishment. She's like, you're gay, we're going to torture you, we're going to cut your tongue out.
Right.
Yeah. So you can't spread your salacious lesbian lies around the town.
She's like, all right, I'll be a witch now.
I'm a witch then. Witchy, witchy, witchy. I reckon there's still too much Kai though. I reckon you could trim more him around.
Yeah,
more
I think
out.
So too. The film itself doesn't really have an arc for Ouija. I try to give him one. I think I've given him more to do, but there's obviously, I think, still more you could do with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really is at that point where it's like, oh, you know what? I was going to say Kai doesn't need to be in the film, but I think he does because it's Ouija who has to face up to his own sort of bigotry and grow as a person. But so I mean, think Kai is necessary, but Kai could die.
Yeah, Kai could die earlier on. And then if you have Ouija at the end there, and then he's so torn between – his lord who he loved and has proven not to be sort of worthy of that love, the daughter who he
has promised to protect.
But then, you know, that's a great bloody sort of problem to have.
Yeah.
And then in that, that's his resolution.
If you wanted to make Mika's death more palatable,
because
at the moment, no one deserves to die, but from a commercial movie perspective, her death needs to be slightly more palatable. She kills Kai. He steps in front of her and is like, you can't kill these people. You can't, you know, I'm not going to let you do it.
Yeah.
And then bang, she kills him. And she's like, you're not my brother.
Yeah.
Mm.
You're not my family.
And she's like, I love her. I love her. She's my family now.
You don't understand it. She died or something along that lines. Or he dies earlier even in the fight.
Yeah. I mean, you could kill Kai, you know, when they open the door thinking they're about to stop the wedding and then they have to fight all the guys off. Kai could die then for Ouija and that just rams it home more for Ouija. I do think if you invest time in making a friendship relationship between Kai and Mika, they need to have something pay off at the end.
She needs to betray him. So I think death, you realize that revenge consumed her.
Yeah. Like even he steps in front of Ouija and he's like, I can't let you kill her. And then while he's distracted, she steals his blade, stabs him, cuts a few other guys down, and then Ouija kills her.
That
I think
work.
You're right. I think it does need that emotional arc needs a
it does
an end. And it doesn't at the moment, there wasn't one there.
Yeah. And you have that nice bit of the witch trying to reason, but she can't talk.
Yeah.
You know, maybe she's also a bit psycho.
I just at that point she would just be a sad and pathetic figure. Honestly, I'd want her to like break your heart. Like she's actually trying to communicate and beg for life, and she can't do anything.
Yeah.
She's not a witch, so she doesn't have any.
Fuck. Yeah.
And it would just be like, it's weird. I'd give the witch character more to do during the film.
Yeah.
And you hate her, and then by the end you're like, oh, I really like her.
Yeah.
So that moment.
Yeah, I think you need to bait and switch her a bit as well. Yeah, I've used that term twice now.
That moment would have to kick you in the guts a bit, but yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. Good but, twists. You
know, kicks in the guts like a sword through the belly.
Yes. But it's like a lot of films we talk about. There's like so many, like with Your Greatest Showman, there's so many doors that you can go through.
Yeah.
Got it right, Sean. Well done. Well Nerds. Done. I didn't last week. That's fine.
But yeah, so that's 47 Ronin. And on that note, I've been Carney.
I've been Tom.
I've been Damien.
And if you want to get in touch with us, talk to us about 47 Ronin or great samurai films like The Last Samurai.
Or Ronan Keating. We'll take it.
Oh, we brought it back, Dave, review.
That's comfortable. That's my circle. Boy. Beautiful. You guys can find us at moviemaintenance@sandspans.com or on Twitter at @mmsandspans or individually. I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
I'm at Orca Treed.
And I'm at Midday Pajamas.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, and like a savage beast you want more, consider becoming a member of Sans Pants Plus. For as little as $5 a month, you'll get lots of bonus content and exclusive instructions on how to survive the coming rapture. Just head to sanspantsplus.com. You all come back now, you hear?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.